Chapel, we've arrived at the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 this morning. So if you turn to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, known as Ephesians, go to chapter 5. Now, these gentlemen have Bibles in hand. They make sure you have a Bible in hand. Just raise your hand. They'll pass one over to you. It's yours to keep if you need it. There's no charge for it, of course. They also have pencils with them. If you'd like a pencil to keep notes, there's a place on your bulletin you can do that. But in particular, make sure we all get our Bible. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's see what the Lord would want to say to us this morning. After 3 chapters of telling us all that's ours because we're in Jesus, for each one who's accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, Paul has laid out the fact that we were chosen, we're accepted in Jesus, we're forgiven, we're the recipients of the greatest love ever. Indeed, Paul has said that all spiritual blessings belong to every believer. But an awesome, awesome portion of Scripture. But then Paul says, based on that, and it was only after that, after he made sure that we understand that it's all by mercy and grace that he's given these things. We don't earn it, don't deserve it, but he has poured out upon every believer this awesome love. It was only after Paul made sure and established that he began now in chapters 4 and following, up to the end of the letter, after having said, here's all yours because you're in Jesus, he now basically says, now live like it. Go out and live these things out. Don't live any longer on the lower plane. But instead, let God raise you up to walk in the plans and purposes and all that God has for you. He began in chapter 4, verse 1, when he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Not worthy in terms of earning anything, but in terms of responding to his love. Let God raise you up to the life that he desires and designed for you. As we come to chapter 5, Paul continues that theme of, okay, God's blessed you, he loves you, he saved you, now live like it, walk like it. As chapter 5 begins, he says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. And so that theme of walk like this. Now, walk means to live your life in such a way as this. It means order your life in this way. That's what he means when he says walk in such a way. Basically saying, in light of all that God has done for us, now go live it out. This is what a life that understands and has received what God has for us will look like when lived out. Now, when I read passages, walk in the light, walk as children of light, walk in his love. All these passages, they sound good. I know they're right. And my heart desires them. It's his plan and purpose for me and for you and for every follower of Christ. But when my heart desires it, I recognize there's a need. How do I do this? Oh, I might want to do it. I want to love as God would have me to love. I want to be walking in the light and all. But if I try to do this on my own, I will make it out of the parking lot. You know that feeling. You leave church going, oh yes, I'm going to walk in what God would have, and then somebody cuts you off and there goes. You're angry again. You go, oh man. How do I do this? That brings us to Ephesians 5, verse 15. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. I draw your attention in particular to verse 18, the last part of it, where Paul sets before us that which points to our greatest need and is our great privilege at the same time. As we're going to see in a moment, this filling that God desires to do in every believer, this is not an optional thing, it's a command. Every believer is called to be filled in the way that we're about to look at. But not only is it a command, but it is our privilege and it's our blessing. And so I've called our time together this morning based on that awesome, awesome truth, that command, that calling. I've called our time, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you want to work right now, that you've drawn us here not just to look around, but to look up, to not just hear from each other, but to hear from you. Thank you for that. May just that fact put us in awe once again that you, the living God, desire to speak to, live in, guide, dwell within us. Lord, I pray that you'd create a hunger in us. We know we're the weak link in this thing, Lord. We can get distracted and think we know best, think we've arrived, all those things that can get in the way. Help us, Lord. I pray that you would create a hunger, an awareness of the need that we might receive your answer. Change us, Lord. Change us for having been here, been with you, been in your word. And then help us go out of here and be doers of what you're about to show us. All to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see what God has for us this morning in this passage of Scripture. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly not being a word that most of us use typically, but it means, the word that's translated circumspectly here, means to walk carefully, accurately, exactly. One commentator put it this way: this is a word that means that we're to walk looking all around. We're to walk like one who's walking in a very dangerous place. Be careful where we put our foot, so to speak, where we go, what we're about. Indeed, a good definition of walking circumspectly is walk wisely, as he says, not as fools, but wisely. So we're to walk, that means to order your life in such a way, walk wisely. How do we do that? Walking in full awareness of the things that we're considering this morning. Verse 16, redeeming the time, he says, because the days are evil. The word redeeming there, for redeeming the time, that's called how we're to use our time and all, it's a word that means to buy up. An explanation of the use of this word would be this. Is there anybody here that enjoys getting a bargain when they go to buy something? A couple of you. I assume the rest of you enjoy paying full price and getting gouged. Is that what's happening? No! Costco's not as busy as it is. Walmart's not as busy as it is because we're all over at Nordstrom's. No, we go where there's deals. We look for sales, and that's right, and that's fun to do. I mean, if you're a bargain hunter, you like maybe going to the different garage sales and all. Well, the idea here is something of the same idea. Just as we look for bargains, hey, how can I pass that up? That's a great savings. This is a great opportunity to save some money. Just as we look for bargains, that's the idea here. We're to be eager and look for opportunities to share the Lord, to be used by Jesus in a situation, in an event, in some circumstance. And so that's the calling here. We're to be eager, we're to buy up opportunities to be used by the Lord. Why? Why should we be doing that? It says, because the days are evil. I paused for a moment to see if there was any stunned reaction amongst you. But not one of you said, they are. You know we live in evil times, evil being a time full of things that are contrary to what God would have, things that are far short of His best, His plan. You know there's much out there that is full of temptation and tempting to pull you down and rip you off. You know that. These are evil times, and we see evil people. We see evil rampant throughout government and just everything, and the culture, music, everything, video, the media, everything. You know that. There's evil all around. Well, how are we to react to the evil that's all around us? Are we to board ourselves up in the house? You know, oh, I'm never going around that. Never been any of that. Never being a part. I'm not going to talk to anybody. Oh, that's so bad. I'm not. What are we to do? What's it say here? Redeem the time because the days are evil. How does that strike you? What if we were to look at these evil days as opportunities to share the Lord, to shine for Jesus? What if we came to understand that people act that way because they don't know Him? They're in darkness. All their life they've been taught that it's all about them. That it's all about the things of this world. At the highest level you can ever get to is some physical experience or something. That's a power, money, wealth, whatever. That's what the world thinks. And you can shun it and just, oh, I'm not going to even interact with, I'm not going to share with, oh, and I might get dirty, you know. Or you can say, wait a minute, that's an opportunity. That person needs to hear about the mercy and the grace of God, the purpose for why we're here and all. Verse 17, therefore. When you see a therefore, we ask, what's a therefore? Therefore is a connecting word. It means based on what was just said, how we're to walk, how to redeem the time. Based on that, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. A pastor once told me, you want to make a lot of money, write a book on how to discover the will of God. Because everybody's always wondering, what's the will of God? I wish I knew God's will. It's not a big secret if we will listen and obey. But you want to know what the will of the Lord is? You want to understand what the will of the Lord is? That brings us to our focus for this morning. Our need, our privilege, our calling is now found in the next admonition. Verse 18, take a look at it. We're going to settle for a while. Where Paul says, end. That connects it to what was just said. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We see that Paul now sets before us a contrast. A do not versus a do. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, destruction. Nothing good will come from it. Now the obvious application is against, of course, drunkenness and all, but it goes further. Wine here is simply representative of the world, of the flesh, of the culture, of that which the world says you need. It says, don't go with that. Don't be duped. Don't be drunk with those things, wine, things of the world and all. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The word be filled here in the Greek is pleroo, and it means to fill up, to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to flood, to diffuse throughout. So God desires to flood you with His Spirit. Now, make no mistake about it. Everybody is controlled by something or somebody. Everybody, every day, makes some decision upon which they're going to base their decisions, the motivations for what they do. You know that from the moment you get out of bed. There's something motivating you. If you don't get to work, you get fired and you want the money. You need the money. Or whatever it is, there's something motivating you, something getting you going. So make no mistake about it. Everybody will be controlled by something, and that's the idea here. What will be the governing factor in your life? Well, for the follower of Jesus, it will be either, and he's speaking to believers here, so there's still going to be a choice, even as a believer. He said, it'll be either the world and all of its influences, or it'll be the Holy Spirit that is in the driver's seat of your life. Now, do not misunderstand. When this talks about what will you be controlled by, this doesn't mean that when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, that at that point you lose your mind, you become a robot, he begins to throw you on the floor where you roll around and foam at the mouth. I say those things because that's what some people picture. They've seen a lot of abuses done in the name of the Spirit. And they, oh, I'm not letting that happen to me. And they think that's what it's about. Don't let the abuses keep you from God's great and awesome answer for us. It doesn't mean we'll begin to have no control over our capacities or whatever. So this being filled here, this call to be filled, does not mean, well, lose control of yourself. Indeed, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you don't have to turn there, let me just share this. It talks about those things that are the fruit of the Spirit, the things that will come out of our lives and be a part of our lives, be born in our lives, if you will, through the Holy Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. One fruit of the Spirit is not out of control. People think that, though. Oh, man, now that's the loving part, but he's going to take me and do all these weird things, and I'll be swinging from the chandeliers. And I'll have no control over it. And the gifts of the Spirit, the last one it mentions there is, hey, self-control. For you ladies that come to the Wednesday study, you've been blessed continually. But right now you're going through a series on the Holy Spirit. No, there's not a conspiracy afoot between Kathy and I. It's God's timing that we come to these passages. He knows what we need, and He doesn't want to see us settle for less. But the Lord recently gave Kathy something she shared, I believe, this last week with all of you ladies that came to the study. And it's one of those things you hear it and you go, well, yeah. But the more you soak in it, just more and more awesome it is. And basically the Lord showed her that when it comes to this whole thing of being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit and all, it's not about control, as in you lose control or something. It's not about control. It's about your will. You are in control of how much control God has of you. He does not take away your choice when you accept the Lord. You do not all of a sudden become a robot that has no choice in the matter. But you're now set free from sin. You now have the choice to dwell closely with Him and experience His leading and all. But it is just that. It is a choice. Now the call is, don't be led by this world. Don't be led by the flesh. Instead, be led by the Holy Spirit. But notice, it's your choice. That's the issue. What will you surrender your will to? Who will really be in charge of you? Moment by moment. If we had no choice, if the ball wasn't in our court, then why the command? He would just do it. And we'd be sitting here like puppets. But no, it's a command in which we get to decide, will we be filled with the fullness of the Spirit? Look at those words with me now. Verse 18, the last part. What these five words, be filled with the Spirit. Seemingly simple words, and we can understand them, and we take them in. Well, that's pretty cool, but they are so rich. Look at those words, be filled with the Spirit. First of all, in the Greek, the verb there, be filled, is in the imperative mode. What's that mean? Well, one way to put it is it's imperative that you do it. It means it's a command. Secondly, the tense of this verse is present. And when you take that tense and couple it with an imperative in the Greek, what you come up with is an ongoing action. What do I mean? What I mean is this would be better translated really is be continually filled with the Spirit. That's our great need, to be continually yielded to God, moment by moment yielded to Him, not fighting Him for the steering wheel, but letting Him have it continually, 24/7. It's be continually filled. Dwight L. Moody was a great pastor and evangelist, and he had this to say. A great many think that because they've been filled once, they are going to be full for all time. Now watch this next statement. I love it. But oh, we are leaky vessels. We have to be kept right under the fountain all the time in order to stay full. What we need is a fresh supply, a fresh anointing, fresh power. And if we seek it, and seek it with all our hearts, we will obtain it. So it's not a once and for all thing. There is that legitimate work called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we should hunger and desire it. But even those who receive that work, they think, okay, now I can just coast on out. No, there's a place that we need to stay continually filled with, led by, empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we are leaky vessels. It's like Kenneth Wiest. Another good Bible commentator put it this way. Speaking of this passage and this need for the fullness, being continually filled, he said, the Christian living a normal life of moment-by-moment yieldedness to God experiences a moment-by-moment fullness of the Spirit. No Christian can do with less and at the same time live a victorious life. He wants to lead me moment-by-moment, fill me moment by moment. Empower me moment by moment. But there's this interesting partnership. And that is a yieldingness on my part, moment by moment. Willing, available, desiring that work, moment by moment. And then that allows him to work, to fill moment by moment. See, what's this all talking about? Talking about a real relationship with God, isn't it? Not religiosity, not an hour on Sunday morning, but a continual fellowship with God, letting him have control in all the good ways throughout our day. Thirdly, the statement, be filled with the Spirit. In the Greek, the verb there is plural, which means it's for all believers, not just a select few. See, it's possible to say, well, yeah, I can see where the pastor needs this, or God wants to do that for the pastor, or, you know, the worship team, or maybe some of the children's ministry workers or somebody, but gosh, not me. I could never experience this. Maybe some say I don't really need it. No, it is for all. That's the idea. In the original language, it means all are to have this. It is the responsibility and the privilege of every follower of Christ, and I said responsibility, to be filled, continually filled with the Spirit, to be about Him, to not settle for a lower level, which it would result in if we're behind the steering wheel. And fourthly, here, that statement, be filled with the Spirit, the verb there is in the passive voice. This means the subject of the text, us, is being acted upon. What is teaching us is that the filling, this filling of the Holy Spirit is not something you and I are going to make happen. It's not a work of man, but an act of God. It's God who will do the filling. Well, then what's our part? It's that willingness, that yieldedness, the obedience. That's our side. That's what opens us up to Him doing that filling that He wants to do. Again, Dwight L. Moody, somewhat lengthy, but worth considering. He said, I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride, selfishness, ambition, self-seeking, and everything else that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Ghost will come to fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of those things and pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he's already full of something else. Before we pray that God would fill us, I believe we ought to pray for Him to empty us. When the heart is turned upside down and everything is turned out that is contrary to God, then the Spirit will come. For a moment, I want you to picture this glass that I have in my hand as representing your life, my life. In particular, for yourself, to apply it to yourself right now, just picture this as your life. I'm going to go over here and get this bowl because I want to make an example. Now, it's attributed actually to the same Dwight Moody as the one who first used this example, but it's been used by many, but it's worthy of considering once again. Picture this as our lives, your life. Now, right now, this glass has what in it? Air. There's air in this glass. Now, what if I wanted to get air out of the glass? I want to get all the air out of this. Now, by the way, if you've seen this example, don't speak up and short-circuit the process here. But let each person kind of think about this. What if I were to call you specifically and say, hey, how are we going to get the air out of there? Someone might say, well, we could, you know, create a vacuum, seal it off somehow and suck the air out. But if you go to suck all the air out of there, very good chance you'll shatter the glass as you pull it inwards. Well, what can I do? How do we get the air out of this? Well, Dwight L. Moody made an interesting observation, and it's a good example for us to consider about. I'm going to take this amount of water here and use this as an example. This is our lives. How do we get the air out of this glass? Now, by the way, don't catch me later and say, well, technically, there's air in the water. Don't do that to me, okay? It's the principle of the thing. It's the example here, okay? And you follow me, I'm sure. But how do we, you know, he says, well, you want to get the air out, fill it with water. As he says, if you fill this thing with water like that right up to the brim, you've now gotten the air, the idea being here, you've gotten out what was in there by filling with something else. As you fill this with the water, out goes the air. And so the same on our lives. As he fills us with him, He drives out, he cleanses out, he does that awesome work that only the Holy Spirit can do, and he does do in the believer's life. And so as he fills us, but see, my part is, am I willing to let him do that? The glass is me, and I have a choice. I cannot yield myself to the process. I can say, I don't want that filling. I'm going to be about me. But I miss out on all he has, that filling work he wants to do. But it's an interesting thing, too, as we say, Lord, just fill me. I surrender. I just have all of me. And do anything you want to do. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to walk continually, moment by moment. He fills me with him. But, you know, God is gracious and awesome. He doesn't stop there, does he? He doesn't say, well, here you are. There's enough for you. Now go on about your business, but don't impact anybody else. Don't affect anybody else. Just be about you. Be happy all by yourself. That's not God's way of doing things. But instead, God says, you know what? Here's how it works. I'm going to fill you and fill you and fill you and fill you until you splash over everybody else around you. That filling of the Holy Spirit, where it starts affecting others around us, so that I'm continually, to give away some doesn't, I don't lose any, do I? Well, I'm going to share with you. I might miss out on some. No, he just pours and pours, and I'm totally full. And yet I can still give to others. And he says, oh, giving more to others. Okay, well, I'll give you some more to you. And on it goes on. As he fills us, we are filled to overflowing. Now, if that reminds you of a scripture, it should, because I want to share that scripture with you. Jesus said, this is John 7, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, spiritually thirst, you're hungry, you know your need, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That would occur, of course, at the ascension and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But what's he saying there? He's saying that out of our heart will flow rivers of living water, which he says. It says he's speaking of the Spirit. There's that awesome work of him filling and filling and filling and then splashing over everybody else around us. That's God's desire for us. That's his goal for us. How important is this filling of the Spirit? Well, he says it's a command. We're called to do it. And to not do it really, therefore, would be a sin. It would miss out. It would be very sad to go around settling for far less, settling for just our will and our purposes. But how important is this filling of the Spirit? Well, think about this for a moment. Now, for some of you, this statement may come as a real jolt, but you'll see why I say it. How important is the filling of the Spirit? Think of this. The Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus with you. What are you saying? What did you just say, Pastor? Retract that. I didn't say it. At least I didn't say it originally. Jesus did. Let's read it. John 16:7. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus said, hey, this is a better deal. They're all sad. Oh, Jesus is going to leave. He's going to ascend to the Father. What's going to happen to us? He goes, oh, you don't understand. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because as I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit who will be with you. Jesus was excited about this. This whole process of how God works. Christ departed so that the Holy Spirit could be imparted. Instead of him just walking around with them, now God would be in them. And if they would let him, they would be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was excited about this. It's to your advantage, this process of how it's been designed. I'm going away. So yeah, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. But I don't leave you alone. You're not going to be orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will be in you. And that's to your advantage. That's a good thing. See, what am I saying? I'm saying that's how Jesus felt about this. How do you feel about it? What priority does it really have as we get out of bed every day, as we go about our day? The call is to be hungry for, desirous of, moment by moment, God, I want all you have. I want your best. I want that filling. I don't want to be about me anymore. I've seen what happens when I drive this car. I wind up in the ditch. I have rough days. God, I want all you have. I want this filling. See, that's the question. He was excited about it. What about you and me? Well, now look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verses 19 through 21 are important. They point out some of the marks of the Spirit-filled life. Think about that. What will mark a life full of the fullness of the Spirit? This being filled, continually filled with the Spirit? First of all, it says what? We will be those who praise. We'll be those who rejoice. Speaking to one another, that means you don't keep it to yourself, but we pass it around. We do this together. It's corporate worship and all. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So be it with others or by yourself, you're making melody, you're singing to the Lord from your heart. You know what? You may not have the greatest voice in the world, but it's beautiful to God. It's melody, it's song, it's He loves it, that's what He wants. And He said, make sure you do it when you're around other believers too. Let it mark your relationship. And so one mark of this being filled with the Spirit is you'll be a praiser, not a grumbler and a complainer and a critiquer and a fault finder. You'll be a praiser. You'll be a rejoicer. Are those words? I guess they're close enough. You get the idea. You'll be one who rejoices. What's the second part of this? Verse 20. You'll be thankful. Something else that marks the Spirit-controlled life, the Spirit-filled life, is thankfulness. For what does verse 20 say? It says, giving thanks some of the times for some things. Yeah, all right. No, giving thanks always. For all things, because ultimately all things come from God. Or He allows them. He's got a purpose. He's working. There's something going on. And He says, give thanks. So there'll be a thankfulness to God in the name of Jesus. And what's the third thing? This might really throw some of us. The third thing that marks this Spirit-filled life, a mutual submission amongst ourselves. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. It will no longer be my will or your will and your agenda, my agenda. It'll be mutually saying, God's will be done, not ours. It'll be no longer about my rights and my what I have coming and what I deserve. You've heard me say it before. If you really want to ask God for what you deserve, would you warn me? Because I want to back way up. I don't want what I deserve. He bore what I deserve. But instead, He gives me life and healing and forgiveness and everything. And that results in no longer my will, but His will be done. Mutual submission. All of us seeking God's will. So think of it. What's the result of this continually being filled? There'll be praise. There'll be joy. There'll be rejoicing. There'll be a thankfulness, a gratefulness that flavors our lives. And there'll be a mutually submitting to one another in the fear of God. This morning, would you be all that God desires? As you go through your days, do you read these things like, hey, walk in love and walk in light and walk worthy? And we read of things like, wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. We see all these things. We go, I want to, but how am I going to do this? You can't do any of that until you got 5:18 happening. That's the place. That's our strength. That's what it's all about. You try to do these other things without that, and you will struggle. You won't do it. I need Him working in me these things. But the awesome thing, He desires it. But it comes back to, what will I choose moment by moment? What will I be about? The answer to all that we go through, the answer to our needs, it's all right here. This is the believer's privilege, his call, his command, his answer, his victory. Be filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't let things you've heard or seen rip you off. Don't settle for less than a continual choosing of letting Him have you. Do you desire all that God desires for you? That's the real question. Do you desire to be filled with the Spirit? Then it's up to you. Because He's going to let you choose. You have the choice. It's your will. Like I said, it's not an issue of control. It's an issue of your will. What will each day find you being about? What will govern each decision, your attitudes, as you go into all that you go through? What will each day find you and I filled with? The world? Or will He find us continually filled with the Holy Spirit? The call, the command, the privilege. Be filled with the Spirit. Tim, you go ahead and bring the team up front. Are you in need of prayer this morning? Our prayer partners would count it a privilege to join with you and pray. As we wrap it up, find a prayer partner here by the prayer room. Don't leave here wishing you'd gotten prayer. Well, now we go out of here, we go on to our days, our weeks. At each moment, we have the privilege, the decision, what will I be about? Will God find us moment by moment yielding our will to Him? If He will, then we'll find Him moment by moment filling us. May He find us individually and corporately as truly Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believers. Let's pray. Father, we are in awe of Your love, that You, first of all, Father, would send Your Son to die, would pay the price on the cross for our sins, and not ending life there, beginning it, ushering into our life this fellowship with You that allows us to know You in this way. Father, help us. Help us see the importance, how You value it, the price paid for it. Help us every day to be hungry, to seek it. We know, Lord, if we will hunger and seek, You'll do it. So, Lord, help us. Help us be those who are constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And as You do, Lord, may all just point back to how awesome You are. Indeed, Lord, may You get all the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen.